Well, it's wonderful to be here on this Easter Sunday, my first Easter here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. My name is Eric, by the way, the pastor who started here just past September. And isn't it glorious? The transformation of a sanctuary and a space to remind us of this glorious day. Wow, so many hands that put this together. And our musicians today, our choir, such beautiful sounds. Thank you. Can we celebrate that for a second? Just yay. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Okay. Well, we hear the scripture this morning. We heard a portion from Luke and now from Matthew. Matthew records it this way. He says, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples." He has been raised from the dead, and indeed, he is going on ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you. So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You ever have a hero growing up? Somebody that you idolized, looked up to? For me, as a young kid growing up in Southern California, there was a baseball player. I was just in the midst of Little League and trading baseball cards, and this was a hero-like guy. His name was Steve Garvey. Anybody remember Steve? Yeah. Part of this amazing infield for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Steve was a hero. I idolized Steve. Any other folks who had heroes like that growing up? Who were some of your heroes? Kennedy? Yeah, others. It's okay, you can talk. I know, sometimes we're not so sure. Rhetorical, not rhetorical, yes. No, other heroes. Say again? Johnny Unitas. Yeah. Ernie Banks. Bart Starr. Henry Aaron. A lot of sports heroes, yeah. Albert Einstein, thank you. Wonder Woman. Yeah. Gene Femby, a musical director. Okay, terrific, yeah. Yeah, we grow up, we have idols, heroes, people we raise up because we look at them and we go, wow, they're amazing. And for me, that was Steve Garvey. Garvey was a great baseball player. He once played a whole season at first base without an error. He's the only player in Major League history to ever do it. He had six seasons where he hit 200 hits. There's only been like 15 players that did that. I mean, this was a great baseball player. And he had this persona about him. He had a nickname. They called him, anybody remember this? Mr. Clean. He was called Mr. Clean because his reputation, his character, it was spotless. He was just a stand-up guy, I guess. And so I looked up to him as a young boy. And I remember thinking, I want to be like Steve Garvey. And as I played baseball, I even tried to emulate his batting stance. He had this really odd, really upright batting stance. I tried to do that. Well, the problem with heroes, sometimes, the people we sort of raise up like that, sometimes they fail. Sometimes they let us down. Sometimes their image isn't all that it was said to be. And that was true of Steve Garvey. Later on, there were things that came out about him and many different affairs that he was having, cheating on his wife and possible items of domestic violence and abuse, and his Mr. Clean image was gone. He'd seemed that way for a while, but the truth came out, and my hero was gone. Dashed. No more Mr. Clean. And I thought of that this week as I was imagining those disciples on that first Easter weekend before Resurrection Sunday. Boy, they'd been with Jesus 3 years, listening to his teaching, watching his miracles, and the way he related to all the folks on the fringes. And it surprised the religious authorities of the day time and time again. I wonder, they probably were going, oh, this Jesus, you're amazing. You're our hero. We worship you. We're not supposed to worship you. I know we're supposed to worship God, but man, woo, you're big, Jesus. But then the crucifixion. It was like their hero was gone. And did all that he teach, all that he say about being one with the Father, and that he and the Father were one, and was that true? Was that just talk? Was he just another one of those run-of-the-mill sort of wannabe messiahs? There had been plenty before him who had big talk, but they couldn't back it up. Was this the same reality for this Jesus, just another wannabe messiah? Oh, the disappointment on Holy Saturday. But then the women go to the tomb. A little shout out to the women, by the way. Every one of the Gospels record it is the women who go first to take care of the body. The women who show faithfulness, diligence, and persistence, even in the face of the unknown and the mysterious. So, ladies, way to go. Way to go. You're awesome. And it's pretty surprising, in fact, that the Gospels even tell us that. But they do. Because that's what happened. The women showed up, and Jesus was gone. And nobody'd stolen the body. No, he was risen. He'd overcome death. And the hero was back. The hero was back, and his message was true. That indeed, God was on the move. God was on the move, breaking into this world. Bringing a new reality. He said a new kingdom. And this morning I want to turn an image for us a little bit. So often in the history of the Christian church and our faith, we talk about this idea of heaven. And that our faith and belief in Christ is all about us entering heaven. That somehow it's fire insurance, somebody would say. Right? And I remember reading this a while back, and I couldn't pull it out of where it came from, but I remember this quote. It says, you know, we seem so concerned with us getting into heaven, while Jesus seemed far more interested in getting heaven into us. See, Jesus' mission was not to take us and snatch us, bring us out of this world, but to bring heaven into this world. It's right there. In the midst of the Lord's Prayer, we said it today. We say it week after week. What do we say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. God's kingdom, God's realm, the heavenly realms. That's how Jesus wants the earthly realm to become. And that's the mission, to get heaven into us. One of my favorite authors, a man named N.T. Wright, put it this way. He said, look, Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of God's new project. Not to snatch people away from earth to heaven, but to colonize earth with the life of heaven. That, after all, is what the Lord's Prayer is all about. So I have some news today. Amidst all the news of chaos and strife and war and bombs and such, there is an invasion going on. It's not somewhere far off. It's right here. In fact, there's an invasion that's been going on for 2,000 years, begun with Jesus. Heaven is invading earth. Heaven is invading earth. Let's think about that for a second. Our faith is not about an escape to somewhere else. It is about God building life into us and bringing heaven into this world. Eugene Peterson, the Presbyterian minister I look up to, as another mentor, wise, wise gentleman. He said, this is his way of phrasing it, each Christian is a nexus for grace. I love that. A nexus is an intersection of redemptive traffic. I love that image. And so our faith is not just I believe something so something will happen later on. It's not just a mental assent to certain doctrines or ideas. It is a life lived in obedience and following after Jesus, who said, I've come to bring life and life abundant. I've come so that heaven would invade this space. So what does that look like? Well, John Ortberg, another Presbyterian pastor these days, he gave us an image of it. He said, look, when someone volunteers somewhere to help a left-out child learn to read, or someone seriously blesses a person in spiritual turmoil, or confesses holding a grudge against another and instead seeks to forgive, or someone gets an idea to be generous with their money, or someone crosses ethnic barriers in love, or treats an overlooked nobody with dignity, or holds on to hope in the face of death, then an ordinary being becomes the nexus where heaven is invading earth. Did you know heaven is invading earth through you and me? When we say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you, the Holy Spirit comes and says, awesome, let's get to work. It's invasion time. And it's not the shock and awe type of invasions of military mights and powers. It's a subtle invasion of grace, compassion, mercy. We see glimpses of it all the time. Last 2 weeks, one of our scout troops here, Troop 672, they went out as a part of the Scouting for Food event. And they hung door hangers all around the neighborhood asking for canned goods, and then they collected a week later. And we came into the office, and here are bags upon bags of canned goods ready to be shared with those who are hungry. Heaven invading earth. Day by day, friends gather here and volunteer alongside friends with Alzheimer's and dementia. They could be forgotten and left alone, but no, volunteers show up and they come alongside to do puzzles, to remember, to sing songs, to do crafts, and heaven invades Earth again and again. So it's happening around us all the time. In your home, in your neighborhood, where you work, where you go to school. Heaven invades. And the reach of God's kingdom grows larger and larger. I read a story recently about a man named Ghassan Tomas. He's a pastor. He was in the midst of an invasion zone, if you will. He was a pastor in Baghdad. One of the few Christian churches that was there active after the war. And this story is amazing. The news piece said, Ghassan Tomas leads one of the few public churches in Baghdad after Hussein was toppled. His congregation put up a sign that said, Jesus is the light of the world. Sounds like a good idea, something we would put up as well. And later, the church was raided by bandits who left behind a threat on a piece of cardboard. It read, Jesus is not the light of the world, Allah is, and you have been warned. And the note was signed, the Islamic Shiite Party. Now, I don't think they were speaking for the whole Islamic Shiite Party, but that group, whoever they were, certainly was. I love the response. See, Pastor Ghassan understood heaven was invading earth, and that called for a different response. And so he loaded a van up with children's gifts and toys and medical supplies. This is not long after the war, all these things in short supply. And he drove to the headquarters of the Islamic Shiite Party. You love that? And he brought these things. And he presented them, the gifts and the supplies, to the sheikh who was there. And he told him, Christians have love for you because our God is a God of love. And then he asked permission to read from the Bible. And he turned to John chapter 8, where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he showed the cardboard note to the sheikh. And the Muslim leaders there were astounded by Pastor Tomas's actions. And they apologized. And they said, this will not happen again. You are our brother. If anyone comes to kill you, it will be our neck first. And in fact, the sheikh later attended that church to witness Pastor Tomas's ordination service. Heaven invades earth. Friends, that's the mission. It's the mission you and I are a part of. On Resurrection Sunday, Jesus conquers death and the grave, and he says, the mission begun in me to bring the kingdom of heaven, it continues. It continues in each one of those first disciples, and now to you and I. What will that look like? That's the fun of the adventure ahead. How will heaven invade where you are? Gracious God, on this Resurrection Sunday, we